Saturday, July 2nd, Lucy's 19th birthday and the 11th anniversary of the day we thought might be Lyndon's last. Always when it rolls around, there's a little song of thanksgiving in my heart. For the first few years, it was almost as though we'd won a battle. Now it has melted into the back of our minds, a vague shadow. The day is bright and sunny, and the ranch is bustling with activity. In the morning, Lyndon and I went swimming. Vicky and Jenny joined us, and the Crims and Jake and George Christian sat on the bank. Lyndon grabbed both puppies by the collars and put them in the swimming pool. Picosa swam joyfully, and Kim dutifully. And then when they got out, they immediately shook themselves right in front of the dry members of the group. It takes Lyndon several days after he gets home to tour all the ranches, so this morning we set out in the helicopter for the Lewis. With the Crims, Lucy Baines and Pat had gone into Austin to see some of her friends. We drove over the Lewis and the Hartman, painfully dry now, picturesque but harsh, wound up in Johnson City looking at the parks and at Lyndon's boyhood home, which is so beautifully kept. I marked that down as one well-done job. And then back by Cousin Oriole's. Stacks of the magazines from the 1920s are gone. A wrench to Cousin Oriole, I know. And the living room looks much more lived in, with the old family pictures on the wall. Her devotion to Lyndon is pathetic and endearing. Our dialogues are hilarious because she answers him back in a spunky, rather witty way. Lunches are late and uncertain, and Mary is a jewel of patience. Not to mind it when we sit down at 2:40 with an unpredictable number of guests. In the late afternoon, we followed the pattern. Jesse and the Don Thomases had come out to be with us, and the Crims, Vicky, Marie, and Jenny, all of us in the helicopter, stopped by and picked up A.W., and then went on to what Lyndon calls the Matilda Crim estate. Arthur has a share in it only at bill-paying time. The stonework is up. Beautiful stone from an old German house built in the 1850s, burned down a few years ago. The brick bought by Roy. There are old beams in the living room and old timbers on the long front porch that runs the length of the house. Roy has really poured love into this work. Dog trot is cool and breezy. We laugh about Lyndon's birthday party, August 27th. Matilda plans to get books on the wildflowers and the wildlife of the area. And this is one house where the mesquite and Texas persimmon, the cactus and yucca won't be bulldozed out. For the first time, they'd brought their little girl, Daphna, down, and she was enchanted with it. We went on to the Coca-Cola Cove, and while Lyndon took guests in the speedboat, I swam a long way toward the end of the cove, all alone, reveling in the freedom of the warm water and the blue sky and an occasional bird that dipped low above me. Lucy was to return from Austin to have her birthday dinner with us at the Haywood. Of course, she and Pat would bring a friend or two. When I heard over the intercom that there would be 10 of them in all, I was a little faint-hearted and told Mary to get anything out of the deep freeze that she could. Lucy, when she was about 8 and having a birthday party, at a very strenuous time in our life, was told, "Now, honey, just limit this to your best friends. We can't do much now. We're all so busy." She looked at me with a plaintive face and said, "But Mother, I have so many best friends." What a happy situation. Lucy and Pat and 6 of these best friends were waiting for us at the beach house, Betty Beale and Scott Duncan, and dear Hitch, Lucy's brother and his date, Leslie, and the gentle-faced daughter of Dr. Barkley, called Betsy, and her date. We had a leisurely ride up to the Haywood. I love the big boat and lying up top on the deck with pillows behind me and the great drama of the twilight with the powder puff clouds changing from every hue of rose and pink and fading into dusk and the little triangles of sails on the lake, red and blue and striped, an occasional water skier. Everybody waving at us. Folks on the lake all know this boat. And that's great, just so it's not newsmen with long-distance cameras. Hitch has rather adopted us, and I'm glad. His mother and father are separated. His family does not play a big part in his life. So he really means it when he thinks of Lucy as his sister. And Lucy has the most endearing way of wanting us to like him in return. She's a wonderful example of love breeds love. This morning I had talked to Linda, and she's going on to Germany. She told me about going to an orphanage and taking flowers to the children, what beautiful faces they had, but she didn't want the press to know it. She was not, however, crushed and subdued by the bad press we had been told she's getting. I did my best to sell her on giving them something brief interesting, warm, happy, and then going on her way. I do not think I won. As we sat out on the brick patio, a big crowd tonight, the Morsons had brought Will and Mary to be with Daphne. Don Thomas's had brought Judge Jack Roberts. Tommy Fawitt and his date came along to add to Lucy's Mary group. And there were the Crims and all the staff. We looked up and saw the huge full moon rising. If it only happened once a year, all the world would stand still to look. The night was bathed in silver, and it was an enchanted spot. I talked to Lucy's friends mostly, very proud of them. So wholesome, good-looking, happy, and full of their experiences. Before we left, Lucy said, "Thank you, Mother. I've had a good birthday, and that is what I think we can all say about it."